Welcome back to 770 CHQR and More Than Money. And we have an aging demographic in this country. People are getting older, and there are certain documents, legal documents, that you need to have as you are going through life. Three of them in particular. Number one is the will. We need to make sure that you have that. But there are two other documents that don't get the same attention, in my opinion, versus the will. And those two documents are who's going to take care of your money and your personal care in the event you can't take care of yourself. And these documents are very important. So I want to have our legal expert to come on board, which he's been on our show many times, to kind of walk us through that and which one takes priority. These are going to be very interesting conversations that we're going to have. We have Catherine Zhang, will and estate lawyer and partner now at Walsh LLP. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Faisal, for having me.
Okay, so Catherine, you and I have been working together for years. When we sit down with our clients and yourself, we kind of go through these three main documents: the will, the power of attorney, and personal care directive. I think Canadians in general have an understanding that when you die, your will kind of dictates where your money and your assets go. But while you're alive, there's two documents: power of attorney and personal care directive. And I don't think Canadians really understand those two documents in detail. So let's start right there. What's a power of attorney?
So a power of attorney is a document where you appoint somebody to take over your finances and any assets you have while you're still alive, and typically it only kicks in when you're incapable. Now, there are other situations where you might want that document to kick in as soon as you sign it or upon some other contingency happening, but particularly for the older demographic and for the general population, we set it so that it kicks in when you've lost capacity.
So that's the power of attorney for the financial matters only, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So what about the non-financial? Let's talk about the other document. We call it the personal care directive here in Alberta.
Yeah, it's called the personal directive. In other provinces, they might be called living wills.
Okay.
And the idea is, in Alberta at least, this document can only kick in when you've lost capacity and you appoint somebody, and in Alberta, that person is called an agent, and they make healthcare-related decisions for you and decisions that are not related to your financial assets. So that includes your living accommodations, your social activities, educational activities, and, of course, your healthcare decisions.
Okay, so is that the two big differences? One takes care of money, the other one takes care of everything but money?
That's correct. And one of the reasons why the legislation has done that is because you might not want the same person to do both. You might have somebody who you really trust and can depend on for financial decisions, but when it comes to your healthcare and personal related matters, that might not be the right person to make those decisions for you.
Okay, so in your experience, why would someone choose two different people?
There can be a variety of reasons. Sometimes in the family dynamics, there's one person that they feel is really responsible with money or has a similar investment strategy or retention strategy for assets, but then they have concerns about whether or not they'll be able to fulfill healthcare decisions. Or somebody in the family might have a medical background and might be better suited for that medical role. It really depends on the situation. Oftentimes, if you have a surviving spouse, that spouse will be the same person for both documents. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. The question comes up as who's next in line. So let's say there's a married couple. They choose each other to be the power of attorney and personal directive. They're the agent and so forth. But then who's next in line? That's when it kind of gets tricky. They start picking other people. Mm-hmm. Do they have to pick the same person?
No, they don't have to pick the same person, and in fact, sometimes it's better not to. If there's any concern about, well, I just want to make sure that my attorney is using my funds appropriately, but I don't want them to be in charge of my healthcare decisions, because then, you know, if particularly they're a beneficiary of my estate, I'm concerned that my health, I might not be put in the right place that I want to. Then you've got a check and balance. You've got somebody managing the purse strings, and then you've got somebody else watching out for your best interests and making sure that those health care decisions are made with your best interests in mind, and that might not necessarily mean keeping your estate intact during your lifetime. It might mean dissipating some assets to make sure that you're cared for properly.
Okay, let me go through a bit of a scenario with you. We've got a father who's got two children. One of them, let's say the son, is the power of attorney. The daughter is the agent for personal care. So she will make all the healthcare or non-financial decisions. Dad has a bit of a problem here. The father has to go to a long-term care facility. The daughter is choosing a facility that the son, who's the power of attorney, says, we don't want to spend that kind of money. Who gets priority?
It's really tough to say in that type of decision. I mean, ideally, you'd have the agent step up and say, well, I've got the authority to decide where Dad stays, so here's the invoice. The problem is, in reality, the invoice needs to be paid. So if there's a problem with collecting payment, then I mean, that's up to the institution accepting Dad as to how long they'll wait until these two can battle it out,
yeah.
Either offline or in court. One of the solutions that we talk to with clients is maybe having that first discussion with your agent and your attorney so that they're clear on what your wishes are, but perhaps going a step further and indicating in both documents, listen, it's my wish that while I am incapacitated and while the agent is making decisions, that the attorney is going to accept those invoices. Of course, always couched on the, as long as those invoices are reasonable, as long as those expenses are reasonable, and while I still have assets to maintain those decisions. So there's a bit of a balance that you can make when you draft those documents.
Catherine, do you see a problem with this? Do you come across where the power of attorney and personal care directive are two different people and they're battling it out?
Yes, we have seen problems. I haven't had a situation to date where we've actually had to go to court over this matter. It usually gets resolved one way or the other.
Okay.
And I mean, the other thing for the power of attorney, we've been talking to clients a lot about, is it might not just be your healthcare decisions that you want to give notes to your attorney about. If you've got stuff in your will that you want to reserve for a beneficiary in the future, that's something that your attorney should probably know about, so that they're not dissipating that asset necessarily while you're alive,
yeah.
If they don't need to be. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that requires a lot more planning, thought process, more importantly, having someone you can bounce those ideas off of. I think that's where counsel really needs to come into play.
Absolutely.
So when someone wants to sit down with you and kind of walk through this process, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can contact me by email. My email is kzhang@walshlaw.ca. They can visit our website, and we've got our direct line here, 403-267-8436.
Fantastic. Catherine, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and giving us a bit of an overview of these two most important documents as people age through their lives.
Thanks for having me, Faisal.
We've been joined by Catherine Zhang, wills and estate lawyer, partner at Walsh LLP. If you couldn't get that information of how to get in touch with her, feel free to connect with me at morethanmoneyradio.com, and we'll be able to get you connected with Catherine. So there's a process here. There's a problem here. The process is you need to sit down and figure out who's going to be in charge of what if you are unable to take care of yourself, and what's going to happen in the event of your death. Now, as you go through retirement, you want to make sure that you have this estate plan figured out. And we do that for clients, of course, and figure that stuff out and work with lawyers like Catherine. But how do you get through that whole process? How do you make sure you have your retirement lined up, your income lined up, healthcare taken care of in the event of passing? What happens to your estate? We call this the four buckets. That's income, growth, healthcare, and legacy. We're going to discuss all those four buckets at our next seminar on Tuesday, February 18th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to reserve your seats. So give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com. Now, as people start to go through retirement. They're going to start to look at their own homes and see maybe there's a bit of resizing or downsizing or right-sizing of their home. We're going to talk to an expert on what you need to do if you're going to downsize or right-size your home. You're listening to 770 CHQR and More Than Money.